Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And before I read this next verse, I just want to make a disclaimer. There is a word that resides in these next few verses that has split churches. It's a theological kind of thing. And I just want you to know that's not why I'm reading that today as we launch this church. It's not to make a theological statement at all. In fact, what I want us to focus more on is that word adopted. So I just wanted to, if you have any of that history in your brain of the word predestined that I'm about to read, just erase it. That's not where I'm going this morning. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. Paul's referring there to the Jews. And you also who were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. So he's proclaiming it to the Gentiles. So he's saying this is for everybody. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for all who are here, for those who will come. We're thankful for your son. We're thankful for these words and this testimony of Paul. We pray that you would lift these words off the pages and into our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. So, as we set the stage this morning, I want you to think back to what happens in your life around a table. All types of things happen around a table. It's a place where life happens, okay? We do all kinds of things around a table. We sign documents that, finalize home purchases, that finalize wills, that finalize the birth of a baby being born. We also sit around tables and share meals and love each other. It's where dating happens, right? I mean, a lot of us who are dating or have dated or married or anything like that, your relationship probably within the first few dates included a table. And that relationship began to grow. If you have a family, regardless of how family dinner time morphed as you got older or as your kids got older, that dinner table was still something at some point in your family's life. And for some of us, we have to be honest and say a table doesn't bring great memories for us. And there's a reason for that, and we're going to get into that. Your reason, your personal reason may vary. It could be because this is where a breakup happened, or this is where I heard news that I didn't want to get, or this is, and so there is that aspect of it as well. And when we have those moments where life is not what we expected, there's a reason why we have that. That's what we're going to talk about. I don't know exactly what your reasoning behind loving or disliking a table is, and I'm sure it's a mixture of both. If you're like me, there's been times in your life that have been the most amazing thing wrapped around a table. And then there's been times where it's just, I'd rather not remember that. But it's where we find fellowship. It's where relationships are strengthened. At Mosaic Church, we really want to be about groups. And so I just want to stop right here and make a quick plug. We love the fact that life happens around a table and that fellowship happens. And that's what we want group life to be like here. And so if you choose to stick around and explore things in a couple weeks, starting on the 28th of October and the 29th, we're going to be doing a men's fellowship and a women's kind of group life where we just get together and share our life with each other and pray for each other. And it's really that simple. The ladies are actually sharing a meal. It's going to be in someone's house. The guys were less creative. It's going to be here. And, but we'll let you guys know more about that. But the reason why that's important for us is because we do believe that life is better when we share it in fellowship with each other. In fact, life is less when it's not have a friend. I wish I could take this from him, but I'm not going to. But his church, their motto is less without you, which I love. Because we are. We're less without each other. And we're going to talk about that a little bit next week. But this week, we're talking about our fellowship with God. Around a table, some of you may have found brokenness that was restored. You may have found restoration in a relationship around a table. And so all these things happen around this table. And so as we talk this week and next week about fellowship with God and fellowship with each other, that's where this whole table comes in. And what I want to say right from the beginning is that God is inviting you to the table. And fellowship, I said we'd talk about this later, but it's vitally important for each of us as human beings because we all have a deep-seated desire to belong. Now, as we get older, sometimes we fill that desire with gadgets and toys and we can kind of make ourselves numb to that. But there's a deep-seated desire to belong. And many people all over this globe play on that knowledge that they know that we all need to belong. Gangs and cults do that. Clubs and schools do that. They know that you want to belong. Fraternal organizations, when you get like into college and that kind of thing, like they know that there is this desire to belong. And we all have this desire in us. And people take advantage of that sometimes. And sometimes they play on it for their good. I mean, just to have all the cards on the table as a church, we know that, but we want to frame that in the right way, which is what we're going to do this morning, that our belonging comes in Jesus, not anywhere else. And so we're going to go into there. But we will typically, as a people, do whatever it takes to belong. And I don't know if you're like me, you may not be. I realize this is kind of a weird thing. Maybe it's weird, I don't know. But on Fridays, I take Fridays off. So I typically have done in the past, I do my yard work, and then I'll go inside, and I'll just kind of relax. I mean, Fridays kind of, as a pastor, you don't get like a weekend. And so Fridays is kind of like my weekend. It's my Sabbath. It's the day that I kind of just relax. Well, usually about 1 o'clock, I'll find myself in a recliner. I have to pick up my son from school at 2:30. And I'll flip through the channels. And I don't know why, but I always happen to stop on Spike TV because they always have like the gangland thing where these people. And I'm sitting here watching these people do the craziest things because they got wrapped up in a gang because they wanted to belong. And I hear them talk about initiations. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't want somebody to hit me. It's not anything I ever wanted that you would do something like that to belong. And we all have that. We all do all kinds of crazy things to belong. Now, maybe it's not that extreme, but we do it. And what I want us to understand this morning is that our desire to belong originates from our separation from our Creator. You may know the story, you may not, but if you flip to the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, we hear that God created everything. And at the very end of it, he creates man and he says that it's good. And if you flip over to chapter 2, it says, but it wasn't quite good because he then said, well, I can make it better. I can make him a helper, someone suitable for him. And he makes woman because God understood that he created us to be in a relationship. Because if you go back to chapter 1, when you hear about God seeing these things, he said they created us in our image. That he, like, it's using this plurality. And it's because God exists in fellowship with himself. And we're not going to get into the Trinitarian theology this morning, but we as an Orthodox group of believers believe that God exists in three parts, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and that eternally God has existed in community with himself. And so if you read chapter 1 of Genesis, and you're thinking there's only God, and then he creates, but he's using this we language, like that's why. It's God had a desire for this fellowship, and he wanted us to be in fellowship with him, but he also created us to be in fellowship with each other. And so we have this deep-seated desire. But then in chapter 3 of Genesis, there's a famous story where this serpent comes up to the woman and says, hey, if you eat this fruit, you'll be just like God. You'll know good from evil. Which that's not just like God. There was other, God could create too, you know. But he said, this will make you just like God, knowing good from evil. And so she did, and there was a breaking of the fellowship. We were designed to belong to God. If we read the parts of the garden, I mean, God walked among them. He talked to them. In fact, in verse 3, after they've eaten the fruit, it says that God walked among them in the cool of the day through the garden. Like calling out, like, where are you? Like, he was expecting them to be there. They were hiding because they were ashamed. Prior to that, there was no shame. There was intimacy and fellowship with God that was broken instantly. I want to set the framework for that in a New Testament version as well. In Romans 1, I just want to read it. You can flip over there if you want. It's Romans 1, 5, and 6. Or it's going to be up on the screen too if you don't want to flip that fast. But Paul was writing, he says, through him we have received grace and apostleship to call the Gentiles to obedience that comes from the faith for his name's sake. And you also are among the Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We are called to belong. And that fellowship was broken. And that's bad news. In case you're not following the story, that's not good. But the good news is, the good news is that Jesus Christ restores us back to whom we belong. In Colossians 1, take me a second to flip that fast. It's just a little bit past Ephesians. But in Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, Paul writes this, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, through death to present yourself holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Jesus Christ restores us to whom we belong, and that is the good news. The bad news is that we were, just the fact is that we were made to be in fellowship with God and each other. The reality that occurred in Genesis 3 was that fellowship was broken. And the interesting thing about that is if you flip over to Genesis 4, you see the theology in Genesis 3 of this happening, but you actually see it play out in Genesis 4, because what happens in Genesis 4? Cain kills Abel. So there is this kind of theoretical breaking of fellowship here in 3, but in 4, instantly, it happens in our life. And so this breaking of fellowship is bad news for us all. But Jesus Christ restores us to whom we belong. And this is the good news, and this is where we want to focus as we talk about God inviting us to the table this morning, is that not only does Jesus restore us to who we belong, but he's constantly pursuing us, which is the best part about it all. So I want to go back and read Ephesians again in light of the framework that we just laid. Ephesians 1, and we're going to start in verse 3, because the first two verses are, there's good stuff there, but it's mainly just Paul introducing himself and who he's writing to. So in verse 3, and I'm probably going to go down to about 10. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1:3. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us and him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I'm going to read verse 4 again, because that's really what I want you guys to hear. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chose you. The creator of the earth chose you. And so that's what we're talking about. But he also pursues us. In verse 5, he says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. I said I was going to read a 10. I'm going to stop right there. It said that God predestined us to be his adopted sons and daughters. Now, you may not understand. Anybody in here have experience with adoption? A handful of you. I do. I adopted our oldest son. My wife and I, not just me. Natalie and I adopted our oldest son. His name's Jude. He's the coolest kid. We adopted him from Nicaragua. And adoption is one of the most amazing things. Because some of you, if you look back and you didn't have very good parents, and I don't know everybody's story here, your parents may have been great. Mine were, and I was blessed. And your parents may not have. But depending on your family and kind of how it is, you may look at that and say, well, they're just stuck with me. Like, they just had me. That's not the case with us. Jude can look back on his life and say, my mom and dad chose me. They picked me out. And that's an unbelievably special bond. I mean, I never really quite understood it until I went through it myself. And so when I read scriptures like this, it shifts how I view it. That God, who created everything, predestined me through adoption, that God chose me. God chose you. He pursues me. He pursues you. You can go back through Genesis and read all the way to Revelation, and you see the story that God is painting throughout the entire Bible is a story of pursuit for his people. He's pursuing the Israelites, the Hebrews, as they are wandering through the desert, as they are in exile. I know I kind of had those backwards, but they're in exile in Egypt. They're wandering through the desert. They go into other exile. They're established in the land. They're going through all these different things, and God is constantly pursuing them. In fact, if you just read Samuel through up to Job, you start at 1 Samuel and just read up to Job, like Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, the story you see is the Hebrews constantly blowing it, and God is still pursuing. And God is still creating a way for them. And then he gives us Jesus. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But he gives us Jesus, who is that too. But what I want you to hear and what I want you to understand is that God is adopting us. He didn't just create us and like, well, now I'm stuck with them. They're blowing it, but I'm stuck with them. God chooses us. He is pursuing us. And as a result, we are not insignificant at all. But you and I are of supreme significance because the creator of all things chose us. We are chosen by God. But the good news is, and so this is, we're getting back to Jesus. The good news is that not only does God choose us and God's constantly pursuing us, but mankind, we broke fellowship with God. But God gives us a way to be restored back to him. He gave us a way to be reconciled, that even though we have blown it many times over, I'm speaking for myself now, I've blown it many times over, and even though I have, God still took on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and came into our broken and imperfect world so that he could live a life that I could never live. And he could die the death that I should die, so that I could live eternally with him. That's how I say it. That's how they taught it to me in seminary. I want you to hear how Paul says it to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. This is how Paul says basically what I just said. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made himself who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul is saying that Christ, who was perfect, came and he knew no sin, but he became sin so that we could live with him. And that is what fellowship with God looks like. God is inviting us to himself. He's inviting us to the table to embrace fellowship with him. He has set the table. the course of history has been set and God is still pursuing you? And God is still calling you? And he's calling us every day because I need to hear that message every day. Every day I need to be reminded that God chose me. Because every day I'm like one breath away from just blowing it. And some days I do. But the reconciliation that God offers me as he pursues me says that through him, I'm made perfect. I'm not perfect, but because of Christ, I'm made that way. And so he invites us. But it's more than just inviting us, he's pursuing us. You may be familiar with this and you may not, but in Luke 15, there's a quick parable that Jesus tells. And it's of a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And one of them has gone astray. I would just say, hey, I got 99 sheep. That's good enough. I'm not Jesus. The message that Jesus tells is that his Father, God, is the shepherd who is going to pursue the one sheep that he lost to bring him back to himself. This ministry of reconciliation. He's inviting us back into fellowship with himself. Every day, I need to hear that story. Jesus invites us to the table, and so quite literally this morning, we have a table. You don't have to come down to the table this morning, but as we wrap up here this morning, I want to invite you to a couple things. I'm going to pray in just a second, and what I want you guys to do is just spend some time praying. You may never have prayed before. Maybe God's speaking to you. The best part of prayer is the quietness. Maybe you've never prayed before. You can just bow your head and be quiet before God. Maybe you have a million times and your words drown out what God is telling you. What I'm inviting you to do is spend a few minutes just being silent before God. And then we as a church offer a number of ways to respond. I'm going to be right down here if you want prayer. You may have something going on in your life and you need prayer this morning. And if you do, I'm going to be right there and I'll pray with you. And if we have a number of you, we have a group of elders and one of them will come and pray with you as well. But Christ has also set a table. He took bread on the night that he was betrayed, on the very night that he was betrayed to be beaten and then later nailed to a cross, he broke bread with his disciples and said, this is my body, and I'm breaking it for you. As often as you do that, do this in remembrance of me. We take communion, or it's offered every week, because Christ said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Well, he was just eating with them. He wasn't saying, let's start something that we do once a quarter. He was saying, this often as you sit down and eat, remember what I've done for you. And then he took the cup, and he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. You don't have to worry about the old one anymore. I'm fulfilling that for you. It's still valid. It still means something, but you don't have to sacrifice anymore. I'm about to become the sacrifice for you. And so this is the cup of the new covenant. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, remember me and what I've done for you and what I'm offering you. And so that is there. You can come and take some of the bread and dip it in the juice and remember Christ's sacrifice. You can also just sit in the presence of God and worship. We have the change for dollar baskets. There's numbers of ways that you can respond to Christ this morning. But what I'm telling you this morning is that you are chosen by God. God chose you. You're not just a random person who has no place in the world. You were chosen by the Creator, and he's constantly pursuing you. He's inviting you to the table, and that's what that table means. Let's pray this morning. Holy God, we are eternally grateful that you poured yourself out for us. That even before we knew why we needed to belong, we knew that we did. And we've each searched for that belonging in various places. God, I pray this morning we'll find our belonging in you. God, I thank you that you have reconciled us to you, not through anything we did or because of how good or bad we are, but because of how good you are, you offer this. And we can't do anything to make it happen. We can only embrace it. And so God, I pray for every person in this room that they would come to know that you are choosing them, that you are pursuing them, and that you are inviting them. For that, we're thankful, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, there's a number of ways to respond. I just invite you to just spend some time before you move to be quiet before God.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.